For the lighting of the Advent candles, it's most common and most comfortable to use the reading from Luke to do that, because Luke just tries to keep it family friendly. Basically, he tries to keep it so that nobody's offended by it, and it's rather comfortable. We could be offended because the angels went to the shepherds, actually, because shepherds were not reputable people, and so to be called a shepherd, and so we are called to the cradle ourselves. We could find somebody to slap and say, "Don't call me a shepherd." But in fact, Luke's version is a lot nicer than what I'm going to read out of Matthew 2. And I'm not going to read all of Matthew 2, but I want you to listen for Herod. And my presupposition here is that I think of all the people in the Christmas story, Herod might have gotten the message better than anybody else. Now, Mary had a good inkling. And of course, after the fact, the way it's all written, she was so compliant and said, "Well, let it be with me according to the Lord's will." And she just went ahead with this pregnancy. We could say there might have been that the danger of becoming pregnant in that day and age and needing to leave town for 6 months once she started to show, which she did. She went to visit her cousin Elizabeth and did not return until closer to her due date, actually. But Mary might have gotten a little bit, I don't know, we don't get a good drift about Joseph. Joseph is almost a non-person in the story. The angel comes to him, and Joseph's also afraid. That would be customary. But we don't know much more about Joseph, actually, ever in the Bible story. He's kind of just this person who we picture on the postcards or the Christmas cards that actually we misplace Mary on the donkey. If they had been rich enough to have a donkey, certainly Mary would not have been on it. It would have been Joe's. But it's the place of women, you know, that sort of thing in that day and age. But we don't know about Joseph. But even the shepherds were amazed. The angels might have known what was going on. But Herod, I think Herod knew what was going on here. And on a few different levels, he might have something to say to us about this event that happened. So here's how Matthew puts it. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking. Now, this week, actually, I received something in the mail from Pastor Bill Cotton. He writes a commentary every week. And this week he said one of the ways to handle this story is to compare Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Jerusalem is, and I lived in Polk County for a while, and I don't ever want to live there again. Polk County, by the way, that's where Des Moines is, if you're not from Iowa, if you're not too familiar with it. But Jerusalem would be Polk County in Iowa, okay? And if you ask people in Polk County, what county is the most important in the state of Iowa? There is only one optional one option for that answer, and that is Polk County. They think the whole world, you know, like they used to think that the sun revolved around the earth. Well, don't tell them, but Polk County thinks the entire state revolves around them. Now that's Jerusalem, okay, for this story. And it's where the power is. It's where the important people live. It's where you go to find out what's going on that's important, obviously, because that's where they went. Bethlehem, little drink water town, nothing important ever happens there, and nobody important ever lives there. And that's where Jesus is born. We get that inkling as we read a couple more verses. When King Herod heard the wise men say that we've come to pay this new king homage, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod gets it. There's a new king. He's the king, and he wants to protect his power. He is frightened for this new power that has come on the scene. So he called together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. Now read in here. He called together the Jewish leaders. The leaders of the Jewish religion were called together by Herod. And they knew what the prophets had said. They said, well, the prophet said that this Messiah is to be born in Bethlehem. And so, and then they go on and they quote the prophets, because this is what the prophets wrote. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. In other words, when the prophet wrote that, Bethlehem had an inferiority complex. Well, don't feel bad, Bethlehem. There might be something important for you in the future. Hang in there. That's what the prophets are saying here. And the wise men, or the scribes and priests, quote that to Herod. So then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search for the child. When you found him, bring me word so that I may go also and worship him. He's a scoundrel. He's a conniving scoundrel who wants them to do his dirty work, to seek out the child so that he can go and eliminate this risk. Now, when they had heard the king, they set out, those wise men, however many there were. We have no idea how many there were. The Bible never tells us, but they brought three gifts. Each one gift. Okay. And they went ahead, and they set out, and there ahead of them went that star that they had seen at its rising, and it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage, and then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And so Herod is trying to use people. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar for our world today, that people use people for their own ends? Unfortunately. But they were warned in a dream. The people who give dreams this day were pretty busy. All kinds of people saw angels, had dreams. Now after they left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. That's why they call this season, the next season until Epiphany, through Epiphany, the killing of the innocents. Because as it turns out, Herod did that. There is some archaeological proof that that actually happened in the area of Bethlehem about the time that Jesus would have been born. Although we don't know the exact year that that happened, there is evidence that in about that time that a whole bunch of children were killed. And that was the important thing why Herod asked the wise men, when did this star appear? He wanted to know. But then it also says that the wise men found him in the house. So they're not in the manger, in the stable anymore. They're relocated. So he could have been up to 2 years old. So these children that were killed were up to 2 years old, male children up to 2 years old. Herod knew that this was the beginning of something new and different. In other words, his power was to be limited. He was not happy at all. And so Joseph got up. He took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. And then when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. That's when he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under. And then when Herod died, an angel appeared to Joseph in Egypt and said, return. But Joseph, being a wise man, knew that the son of Herod was still ruling over Judah, so he said, I ain't going there. And he went up to Nazareth, where they came from in the first place. You know, we can relate to the difference between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. One of the things we learn as an elementary student in school is the amazing fact that Abraham Lincoln was born in a log cabin. Who would think that anybody from a log cabin would amount to anything? And so there he is as the President of the United States. And that's part of the story, is that it's an unlikely kind of story. It's an unlikely route that took him where he was. And so it is with Jesus. But we, being separated from that culture, that time, we might miss that. That God continuously uses the out-of-the-way places and the most unusual people, the most ordinary, to do great things in the world. People like you and me, the shepherds of this world. And we need that word because we are still in the business of making refugees, just as Jesus' family had to flee. When was the last time we could hear the news and not hear about refugees flooding this country or that country, or refugees in our country saying, boy, we better watch out or they're going to come here too. We have to bar the door. The Christ came into such a world as that, such a world as this, such a world as we have right now. Did you notice the article? At the beginning of this week, I think, of the bus in Kenya, Al-Shabaab terrorists shot into the bus, and the bus pulled over and stopped. And there were, it's a bus like a Greyhound bus like we would have, or a charter bus like we would have, but there were 100 people on the top and in, crowded in, 100 people. And I think we would say that 40-some is a crowd in those things. And they probably have bench seats, whereas we have to have the reclining with the armrests and all that. But 100 people on this bus, and these Al-Shabaab said, we're here to kill the Christians. You see, people in power or wanting power are always scared of those who, for some reason, are different or might cause them some danger. And so did you catch the story then? That the people, the Muslims on the bus gave the headscarves to the, there were about a dozen Christians on the bus. And they helped to disguise the Christians and said, there are no Christians, but if you want to kill them, you'll have to kill all of us because we're all the same. And they said this, we're all Kenyans. Is it possible that we could forget some of our differences in this day and age? And we could say, listen, Christ came for the salvation of the world, all of humankind. And is it possible that we could forget some of our differences? And we could just say, we're all God's children. And somewhere in there, we get the drift about the irony and the power of God coming into the world as a child. I just read this. We opened our gifts at home, and Jane gave me she gave me 3 books. But one of them had this line in it. A resilient life is not an impenetrable fortress. A resilient life is more like a calm, deep river that soothes the suffering soul within us and the suffering soul in those around us. And I thought, you know then what a resilient life is? A resilient life is what happens to a group when they start passing a baby from one to the other. And is it possible that humanity could decide with one another that we just won't kill any more babies? I don't know. The angels were busy in this story, in Luke's story, not so much in Matthew's. And in Luke's story, the angels were always coming around saying, "Don't be afraid." No angel came to Herod. No angel came to Herod and said, "Oh, don't be afraid, Herod. You have nothing to worry about." No, Herod was right. He had a lot to worry about. And he knew it. There's a part of Herod in each one of us that we know that the Christ is a challenge to who we are, our own security, our own way of making our lives just the way we want them to be, of manipulating and using our relationships, being comfortable at whatever cost. There's that part of Herod in each one of us. And Christ challenges that. Instead of contentment, there's that self-denial. And so we are challenged.